We've been given a beautiful morning to worship the Lord. Before we start this morning, ask a question. And that, who are we worshiping when we worship? Yeah, let me. You're exactly right. And let me tell you a personal story, and that might help give you a little different perspective on it. And then it's a bit of a confession too. Back when Mary Kate and I were fairly young believers, right? We went to visit the church of a friend of ours, right? And it was a Presbyterian church, fairly formal, right? So, you know, we showed up, and you know, I was in my suit, tie, dress shirt, looking sharp like a 30-something young believer should look. And being a fairly formal church back in those days, we had time to sing hymns. And I think we were probably singing hymn number 367, verses 1, 3, and 4, as you did back in those days. And we were all standing. Well, it was interesting that there was a couple behind us. Right? And at the time, I thought they were elderly, probably no older than I am now. And they were singing, but they were not only singing loudly, but very off-key. And it was bad enough so that people were turning around and looking at them. You know, now what naturally went to me, because we were strangers in this church, and I didn't want people to think that we were the ones that were singing so badly and off-key. I mean, I thought, this is them, you know. I told people that story for a couple of years, thinking it was funny how that happened. And then as I got a little older in the Lord, reminded me that that they were fully worshiping Him. I was busy concerned with how I appeared, not how He appeared. And as I've grown even older in the faith, Lord's touched me now. There's times, you know, I'll be worshiping with all of you, and I'll have a hand in my pocket because I sometimes do that. And, you know, and I'll think, and the Lord will point it out to me, and there's nothing wrong with worshiping Him with my hand in my pocket. You know, my hand don't need to be raised in case somebody happens to look to see how I'm worshiping the Lord. You know, I mean, it's okay either way. And what's probably more important is where Christ's hands were when He reached out for the cross. Sometimes, you know, I always wish that I would have been a bass man in a doo-wop group. And there's times when I'll think, boy, you sound good. And that's probably okay. And that we want to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But it's more important that He called my name out. So I've come to the conclusion that the Lord has a bit of a filter. I can be a little bit off key. My posture might not be perfect. Maybe I'm tired and hip hurts and I'll be sitting instead of standing in that. But the Lord is reading my heart, not my voice. So that might give you something to think about as we worship this morning. Would you stand and join me in prayer? Father, I ask that this morning, as we come to worship You, Lord, that You would touch our hearts, Lord. You know where each and every one of us is, Father. And so, Father, I ask that You would meet us where we are. Let us worship You as our God, our Savior, the one who loves us more than we can truly imagine, Lord. Let us do it, whether we do it standing, sitting, with raised hands, or with hands in pocket, Lord, whether we're on key or whether we couldn't carry a note in a basket. Father, but let our hearts be in the right place, Lord. And we thank You for what You do. In the name of our blessed Savior Jesus, amen. Now let's worship with Nathan and the team.
Amen, amen. Well, please stay standing. And Gary, I appreciate that encouragement because some of the notes that I seem to hit sometimes are a little squeaky too. So that's encouraging that, Lord God, I pray that you would hear our hearts and you would inhabit the praises today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And because of that, he is the joy to the world. Isn't that right? That we can walk through any department store and listen to his words being praised on the radio is just beautiful. So let's join in with joy to the world. Let's kick it off. Olivia, Natalie.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
It's a little different here.
Joy, unspeakable joy, overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Joy to the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Yes, we can. That's exactly right. Oh, come all ye faithful. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Adore him, oh come, let us adore him in Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation, oh sing all ye praises of. Oh, come, let us adore. adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning, Jesus, to Thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, whatever that is, we pray peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing grace.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now blind, but now I see.
Let's do that again. Amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now blind, by now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. Hour I first believe,
my chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy. Word, my home secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures.
My chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
My chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set. God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love. soft like snow. The sun forbears to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. Will be
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are ours forever and that we are yours forever, Lord Jesus. You draw us close to you because of your amazing love. Thank you, Jesus.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. That you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King would die for me.
Amazing love.
Amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do.
Father God, I pray that we would always have that mindset, that heart, that in all we do, that we're honoring you. Whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's at home dealing with our spouses or other family members, friends close to us, Lord Jesus, we pray that we would honor you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your love. Amen. You may be seated.
That was awesome worship. Thank you.
Beautiful.
I'll be praised.
Awesome worship and awesome word beforehand. Thank you. Oh, look at you guys. You're so awesome.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. Glad you are here. Thankful for you. All right. Well, we do have a couple things to go over. We've got lots of stuff going on. So I'm going to try to get it all in. And if I forget stuff, then you can just yell at me. In a very nice, loving way. Not everybody does that. Okay. Really. So a couple things really quickly to go over. You guys know tithes and offerings. We're not going to collect them. They're just put in the back in a little bird box. And God has always provided for us, always. In plenty or in want. You know, God is our Jehovah Jireh, and he provides. And so just put your tithes and offerings back in there, and we don't want anybody to feel guilt or manipulated into giving. A couple things on missions really quickly just to let you know. This is Robbie and Jonathan. They led worship last week, and you guys know that they're doing stuff with InterVarsity, and they're doing stuff at each of the colleges, at Ringling, at New College, at USF, and I can't remember the other one. SCF, yeah. And so anyway, just one really quick thing since they're not here. You know what? Every time they send me a picture, it's like a model picture of their family. I just picture, like, the wind, like, blowing. You know what I mean? Every time. Like, what is it with them? Anywho.
They're a grace-filled family.
Yes. that's just how they wake up every morning. Anyway. And so Gary and I, you know, just to encourage you and to pray for you, just ask you to pray for them. Gary and I met with them, my concept of time is bad, about a week or two ago, and they were just, with Jonathan and Robbie, and they were just sharing two things. And one is, I would just ask that you would pray for them, if you would. You know, we had given them a bunch of Bibles that they hand out at the colleges now, and a bunch of tracts, you know, from our church. So the gospel is going out, like 1,000 tracts. So for Halloween, what they did with all the students on different campuses, they packed bags full of candy and gospel tracts and just handed them out free in Jesus' name. It was awesome. It was a great thing. They were handing out free books and free Bibles, and it was wonderful, except for the fact that there was one group that really hated that they did that. And so they have one room. I can't remember the name of it. The diversity room. And that's where they meet, at the diversity room. And so what they did, somebody gathered up a whole bunch of tracts out of all those bags and put it in for a particular, I don't know how to approach this one, a particular group of people that also met there because, again, liberal colleges, there's different folks. And so this group got a bunch of, and said that these gospel tracts was hate speech. It was a pro-lesbian, gay. Anyway, and they said that the candy and the tracts constituted hate speech, and they felt threatened because that they were giving free stuff away. And that and so what they did was they kicked them out of the wouldn't allow them to meet anymore. And so they just said, you know what, this is an opportunity. Let's not react badly or ungodly. Let's handle this. And they went in, and the students went in. We kind of prepped a little bit, and the students went back in, and they were saying that there was hate speech because it says that there was only one way to be saved, and this is Jesus. Now, just for the record, though, there's literature and brochures in there on how you could be like a doula for abortionists, and I mean there's a whole bunch of stuff how to be anyway, but that's not considered hate speech. Anyway, so this whole room is the diversity room, right? Mm-hmm. Diversity. But diversity means everybody but Christians.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting? So they went back in and they just said, hey, if you look, there's nothing in there that is hateful at all. In fact, it's really loving. In fact, and so they just went through everything. They handled it in a good, godly way. And they, even though those people were saying all these hate-filled things about these Christians and this group, and they reversed the decision and are allowing them to continue to meet at the college. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Also, just to encourage you too, Robbie was actually in tears and sharing. Her kids have been, sometimes they'll go with her to the college campus, and they were praying, and they were praying for things like during the election time, like, Lord, we just pray for these elections, that godly people would be elected, and the college kids were like, wow, we didn't even think to pray for elections, and then, Lord, we just pray for the persecuted church, Lord, you know, and they're like, wow, we didn't even think to pray for the persecuted, and they just kept going through all this stuff, and they were just sharing, you know, how awesome. They were like so blown away by the kids. And just to encourage you guys here and the school as well, she was in tears. She says, we just tell everybody it's because of what you guys are doing here at the church and school that our kids are like they are and being such a witness. She's your heart. They're coming home. And I say, is everybody there in love with Jesus? No, not everybody. But we're praying for the ones that aren't. And they're coming along, you know. And so it was just such a beautiful thing to see her in tears. And I said, thank you so much for sharing that. I said, I might even share that on a Sunday. So I just want to encourage you guys. Thank you for all your support for the church and school. It's wonderful. And that's Shepherd's Heart Christian School, for those who don't know.
Where are they,
Pastor? They were in missionaries in China for a long time. And now they're doing work at the colleges here, like New College, which is... super liberal, yes, and Ringling College and USF, yeah. So just pray for them, if you would. They're in a hostile environment. Also, Peggy and Lester Seiler, if we can pray for them too. They just led, not too long ago, a leadership conference, and they had some main speakers from America that were supposed to be coming in to this leadership conference from all over the world. They get together in Zimbabwe for this conference, and they canceled, and they asked Peggy and Lester to be two of the three speakers, main speakers for this, and it was such a blessing. But just pray for them as the economy in Zimbabwe is shot, and it's just still very up in the air. If you would just pray for them, they've been on the mission field for 47 years, and they want to be back here, honestly, with us. They have a home with here at church, but the Lord still has them there. So just if you would pray for their encouragement, pray for their blessing. Just pray for them if you would. They're a wonderful family. Okay, a couple other things really quickly. We have prayer Monday mornings. Do I have the women's thing up here? Oh, I forgot it. Okay, bad Darren. Okay, it's really... that is it. Okay, well, yeah, I'll take it. Just, yeah, so anyway, Women's Bible Study, the second Tuesday of each month, okay, right, 6:30 to 8:30, no, that's next week?
No.
Okay.
This Tuesday is the men's, a week from Tuesday.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so this week is the Men's Bible Study, wonderful. Thank you, Gary. That's the first Tuesday, 6 p.m. dinner, 6:30 Bible study. And what book are we studying, Gary?
We're
going to
get Paul's Last Testament.
Ah, very nice. So we encourage you to come out and just be strengthened in the Word. Guys, we all need it. And then Women's Bible Study is second Tuesday of each month. And that's, they're going through the book of Ephesians. Also, Wednesday's youth group here, 6:30 to 8:30 with Josh and Amanda Panda. Also, Gary wanted me to mention, Gary said he just really felt led that in lieu of worship, either one of these Sundays, either next Sunday, the Sunday after, we're just going to do, instead of worshiping by singing, we're going to be worshiping by giving a testimony to the Lord.
Awesome.
Now, testimonies can be one of two things. For those of you who don't know, a testimony can just be something that God is doing in your life, that you're seeing him work and operate, that you've held on to him, you've trusted in his heart, you've trusted in his word, and he has come through for you in this situation. And man, you just want to get up and share that. Well, we want to give you an opportunity. That's worshiping the Lord. You're just speaking his praise. You're living it. And so we want to give you an opportunity to do that. Also, if you want to share your story on how you got saved, okay? Now, this has to be, this can't be a 30-minute, you know, it has to be just a few minutes. But, and basically, you know, if you don't know how to do that, if we look at the book of Acts, okay, like in Acts chapter 21 and 22, Paul divided his testimony into three parts. Number one, before his life in Christ, he described what he thought he and did before he became a believer. And then number two, how he became a believer. He explained that in Acts 22. And then after that, Paul explained how becoming a believer changed his life. And that's just sharing, and it's all about God, not about you. So if you want to share something, see Gary in the next few weeks, and we'll give you a few minutes to come up and share that with all of us, because we're supposed to be a family. Even if it meant you struggled before and God rescued it out of, whatever, we'd love for you to share that, okay? Also, Christmas party, Saturday, 6 p.m.? 6 p.m., December 15th, and we're making homemade lasagna and homemade pasta sauce. Is there a sign-up sheet that we can maybe... Yeah, would you mind doing that? And listen, there's a sign-up sheet, and here's why we're going to do that, because if we're making homemade pasta sauce and homemade lasagna, what we decided to do, if you weren't here last week, we decided, my wife and I just want to serve you. And we just want to get together as a family and bring some tables together. I'm not sure if it's going to be at home or here, depending on how many people sign up. But we just want to make some of our family favorites for you and just be together. And so it's not fancy, but it's going to be fresh and awesome. And so we're just going to serve you, and we just want to get together. We'll have a white elephant gift exchange, and we just want you to be there. So if you're going to be there, we got to prepare for it. You don't want to make food for 100 and have there be 10 people here, or vice versa. Yes, Betty. Oh, hi. Oh, okay. Okay, good. So if, yeah, just send that sign-up sheet around. Okay. Look at that, Soph. You're so good.
He's 97 years old, and he doesn't look it. He looks like he's in his 60s. I asked him what his secret was, and he said just good living. And but he's got a very bad UTI infection, and this is his third UTI infection that he's had in the last month.
What's his name?
His name is Gordon Bloom.
Okay, let's take a minute and pray for Gordon right now. Father, we just lift up Gordon, and we lift up everyone else in here, Lord, too, who's suffering, Lord, with some maybe some illness, and they didn't speak up, Lord God. We ask for your comfort. We ask for your healing touch on Gordon, Lord, and on each person here. Little bit of extra energy, little bit of extra encouragement, Lord, little bit of extra blessing, Lord, little bit of extra protection. Whatever it is, Lord, we ask for your healing touch, Lord, on hearts and minds and bodies for Gordon and for each person here. And we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to be starting a Thursday night Bible study back up. Now here, we're going to hold off on the dinners. Now listen, we're going to be doing an Experiencing God Bible study, okay? Now let me tell you, if you have not taken the Experiencing God Bible study, okay, I don't care if you are old in the Lord or brand new in the Lord, especially if you're younger in the Lord, this is, can I say it? No? Okay. How do I say? I want to encourage you as strongly as humanly possible to take this Bible study. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There's going to be homework every night. Okay. You're going to have about 45 minutes of homework every single night. Okay? So but I am going to tell you, I absolutely guarantee that the Lord will use it in your life to show you how he operates. You'll see him more clearly. You'll experience him working around you more clearly. You'll be challenged more deeply. I absolutely guarantee it in Jesus' name. So I would encourage you. There's going to be a sign-up sheet for that next week. We'll have some videos, and that's going to be starting on January 10th. I would strongly, especially also because of how we teach it too, I don't even know how to say it. Like, if I could make you do it, I would do it. The cost is $15 for the workbook, okay? If you can't afford $15 because we are so rich, no, we are in the Lord, but we'll even pay for it for you if you don't have $15. We'll pay for your workbook. We just want you to take this course, okay? And if you could run the microphone, I see Connie raising her hand back there, the lovely and talented Miss Connie. And so I don't know why.
I wanted to echo that, too. I took that course. I took that Bible study when I started going to Refuge,
yeah.
And it was at your
house. Yeah,
yeah, and it made, out of all the Bible studies, the book studies, that really, and I'm not discounting the other ones, but that run really is set apart from the
yes.
other book studies. It will impact your life.
Thank you, Connie. That was really great. I still remember. You know, Connie, it's so funny. That's when I first met you, I think. All right. Well, at least when I put you in my phone, because you're still in as you're in there as Connie experiencing God. So I just want to encourage you, please, please, please come out to this. You'll grow together in fellowship and in strength in the Lord.
Pastor,
yes?
Is there a way to follow along with that from where I live? I've got the book.
Okay, I will say the answer is yes and no. Yes, you can, and yes, you will grow from it. However, it's the way we do it here. They have DVDs, okay? We show a little bit of DVD. We teach ourselves. We do teaching, our own teaching ourselves here. Then we do also DVD, but it's also we share with one another what we're learning. And that's part of it. As you're growing closer together, it helps us to grow in love and faith. So can you do it? Yes. But it's really best to commit and do it together because it's really helping growing. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right, so now, guys, we are going to have a baby dedication. In fact, we might be having baby dedications for the next couple of weeks. But Nick, Ashley, I know you're up here, and family. You want to come up with Stassi that I thought was Stacy? But Stassi's cooler.
It is.
So I'm going to start calling you instead of Ashley, Asaley.
You are precious.
So we are very excited because we're going to get to do a baby dedication today. And so first off, I just want to say how excited I am for this family and for you guys. And it's because you're choosing to dedicate your baby. And I know, you guys, it's more than just like, oh, yeah, I guess we'll do baby dedication. It's because you're really wanting us to pray over this baby and dedicate this baby to the Lord. Now, for those of you who don't know, baby dedications have happened in Old Testament times. Do you remember Samuel in the book of Samuel? Remember when Hannah dedicated her baby to the Lord? And she did that. And even in Jesus' time, if you remember Mary and Joseph, they took baby Jesus to the temple, in a sense, to dedicate him to God. And so for that rite of circumcision. And so we're going to do that dedication here for this amazing baby. So I've got a Bible verse somewhere. Excuse me, Hunter. Let me grab my Bible. And they say, never turn your back on an audience. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn my back because I want to talk to you guys. And I'm glad, you know what? I'm going to say something else, Nick. Okay, this is... Now, just we're going to be speaking personally, and they can listen in if they want to, but I'm really here to talk to you guys. Okay, first off, I'm glad you took the baby, not only because it helps your wife. but here's the thing. You're the leader of this family. Okay, God set it up that way. It's not because I say it. It's because God has set it up that way. And so that you need to take the lead role if you want this little, precious little baby to follow the Lord. And both of you have to be committed to the Lord. And it's awesome. I've seen you grow in the Lord. It's very exciting. And honestly, I just want more. I just want you guys just on fire for God. I want the whole family on fire for Jesus. But in a sense, it starts with you two. And in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, when the Lord gave the commandments, he said this, "Hear, O Israel, He said, the Lord your God is one. He said, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then he said, these commandments that I give you today are be upon your hearts. So mom, dad, God wants you to trust him and trust his word first. Not just, oh, I want the kids to know the Lord at Sunday school, but then I do it my way. He wants it to be on your heart. And so then he says, then I want you to impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, when you get up, and it goes on and on and on. In other words, he wants Christ to be central in your home. And that's more than just a rah-rah thing. That's the truth. Now, Nick, that's responsibility even more so for you as the head of the home. Okay? Now, some ways, us guys, we don't like that extra pressure. But that means you need to take the lead in seeking the Lord, in going to the Bible study, in coming to church faithfully on Sunday. You need to take the role. Not her, not them, you. And then we get to see you grow in the Lord. And that's very exciting. So I'm just going to put, if it's okay with you, if it's not, I'm just like to put a little tiny dab of oil on her head, if that's okay. Let me grab it here. Thanks, guys. And then I'd like to bring up the microphone, and Josh, I'm sure you, one of you guys, probably Amanda, one of you guys want to pray. But no pressure. And if anybody else feels led to pray over this baby, okay, then I want you just to feel free to come up and grab the microphone. And if we have to stand here for 5 minutes, we'll stand here for 5 minutes. It's fine. Okay? So we're going to pray for you, okay? And where's that microphone? So, one of you guys want to pray as well? And then if anybody else wants to after Josh, you can grab the microphone. Just come on up, okay? All right. And if not, I'm going to pray. Are you ready?
You want me to pray now?
Actually, let me anoint her first, and then you can pray after, okay? How's that? I just want to pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would bless this precious baby. In the name of the Father and the Son and your precious Holy Spirit. I pray, Jesus, that you would just anoint this girl with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, that she would come to know you and love you all the days of her life, that she would dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that she would be a little evangelist telling other people about you, Jesus, in everything she says and everything she does. I pray for this. Yes, amen. And I pray for this family, Lord God, this amazing family, Lord. I just pray your blessing of protection on them, encouragement. And I pray for dad and mom that you would protect them as a couple and that you would help them to be proactive in leading their children to Christ and helping them to grow in the Lord. And I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Bless and protect. Amen. Amen. Mr. Josh, you want to pray too?
Lord, what a precious thing it is to give us the opportunity to raise up children to be lights for your kingdom. I know sometimes as parents it feels like these things are so such an awesome gift. Sometimes they can be kind of crazy too. But, you know, and they're also a passing thing, Lord. You know, we hold them for a time and then we have to let them go towards you, Lord, and towards your plans that you have for them, Lord. And so I pray that as little Stassi gets older and as Angelina, Audrey, and Hunter, Lord, get bigger, that their parents just continually to pour your love into them, that they pour your word into them, your heart, your passion, Lord. I pray that you give them wisdom and insight. I ask the Holy Spirit to just descend upon them, be on them, be in them, be around them, Lord. Give them just a supernatural understanding of their child's hearts, Lord, even little Stassi's, Lord. I pray that they can learn their love languages, learn their ways, Lord, so that they can better communicate your love to them, Lord, so that they can just be awesome little lights for your kingdom. And I just think it's such an awesome thing that you're bringing Nick and Ashley, Lord, drawing them closer to you. I remember when they first started coming here, Lord, and there was some, you know, just such a huge difference from then and even now, Lord, even more to come, Lord, that I know you have an awesome plan for their life and for their family, Lord. And though we might not know what it is, Lord, we know it's going to be something super great and super awesome that only you can know, and just continue to be with them and Amen.
Anybody else that feels led to pray, I just want to give you an opportunity. If not, you can still pray quietly from your seats. The Lord hears those prayers. Miss Neely, you want to pray? Okay. That's awesome. If God's moving on your heart, we want to listen to the Holy Spirit. So I know it's scary for you to get up here, Neely. I know you hate it, but.
Lord, lift up this family to you, Lord. We thank you so much for bringing them here to begin with.
Thank you.
For us, you know, just having the privilege to see them grow from when they got married and now this beautiful baby, Lord.
Yes.
I pray for wisdom for mom and dad
as
they raise her, and also for Amanda and Josh as they are, I believe, a good support for this family.
Yes.
But also the congregation, Lord. Help us to know and remember that we are here for one another and to always look for opportunities to bless this family and all other families. And I pray also for the teachers that are speaking your truth and your word to the children, including this family, to help them to grow in Christ, to love him, to live for him, Lord, and just to know your truth.
Yes.
And so that they can recognize when they grow up your truth from the things that are coming up out of the mouth of this world. Help them to be just beautiful, wonderful evangelists, like Pastor Darren said, for the future generations.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for them and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Okay, is there anybody else before we let them go sit back? Okay. Oh, you feel led? Okay. Come on. I know you hate it. Come on. If God's prompting your heart, just obey. Okay. Grab the mic, though. You're doing so good. You're doing so good.
Lord, this is an awesome opportunity, not just for this family, Lord, but for this church.
Yes, Lord.
Because we're all in the family of God.
That's right.
We're all in the bloodline of Jesus Christ when we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. And I pray, Lord, that each member of this church in their quiet time, that they will lift this family up in prayer, Lord, that they will lift each other up in prayer, that we will plant seeds in this family's life, Lord, that the encouragement will come not only through the prayers that we give them, but from each other, Lord.
Yes.
And if it's put on your heart just to say something to them, Lord, that we may not even know why, that that's the seed of encouragement that they need, or the confirmation, Lord, that they're doing what you're leading them to do. And we thank you, Lord, as a church for this opportunity.
Yes, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Anyone else? Okay. Well, I'm going to get to give hugs to each one of you. I love you, buddy. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
I'm proud of you, too. You did great up here. You didn't even spit up on me. That's amazing. Come on, sweetie. Okay, come here.
Oh, come here, Hunter, you big man. I think I'm breaking a rib. I love you guys. Let's give this family a round of applause, yes? You can go sit down, all right? Good job. All right. I love that word, too, as God is putting that in your heart, to look for opportunities to minister to this family. Amen? Okay. Chick, chick, click, click. No clue. Did I? Oh, thanks. Oh, okay. So what to do next? Okay, so you guys know that we've been going through a series on spiritual warfare. And so, hey, just real quick, Chris, would you hit the lights just for a second? So if I were to say to you, just for 5 minutes, if I were to say to you, hey, put on the full armor of God, okay, what is the first thing that I should put on as a Christian? What? Why? What is it? What's the big deal about the truth? What is the belt of truth, or who is it? That's right. It's Jesus, right? His heart, his word. And does that go all the way around us? That secures the rest of the armor, doesn't it? The rest of the armor goes on, the sword clips to it. If you don't have that, you have nothing. So listen, that is for a born-again believer, for a Christian. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to give your heart over to him. He died for you. He loves you. We talk and we sing about his birth, and that's fantastic, right? But there's also his death on the cross. You see, here's the thing. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was actually murdered for you, for me. He was murdered. He allowed himself, by his stripes I'm healed. By the precious blood of the Lamb shed on that cross, we have an opportunity to come to him, to be forgiven of his sins, to have mercy. I don't know about you, but I want mercy, right? From God. I need mercy from God on that cross. And he's offering it to you. And he's offering it to me. That whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And so that is crucial. That is critical, no matter what. We talked about what else? What other than the belt of truth? What else? The breastplate of righteousness. And that goes, that's righteousness all around. Christ's righteousness imputed to us, but also righteous living. And that protects our heart. Guards our heart because it's the wellspring of life that where everything comes up, and that protects us all the way around. What else? What else do we have on our armor?
Well, we have a shield and we have a sword.
Sure. Shield, sword, right? We talk about the shield, right? What is it called? The shield of what?
Faith.
Right, we're not talking any rinky-dink shield. And the shield of faith does what? It extinguishes all the fiery arrows of the wicked one. Every time he's throwing something at you, every time the enemy's coming at you, you're not talking about a little gladiator shield. You're talking about, this is what he was talking about. And you would hold up that shield of faith. You trust in his heart, in his word, no matter what comes at you. And I'm telling you, this culture is turning against anything that's true. So it's going to turn against you as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. So you better hold up that shield of faith to extinguish every flaming arrow of the wicked one. And then you know what to do? You march together the more the enemy presses in. Because he wants us to run away, right? When they shoot those arrows at us, they would be on fire so that the people would drop their shield and freak out, drop the faith, and run. But no, it will extinguish it. Because it was, they would put water on it. And we have the water of the word washing over us. And we want to march together in faith, and that will strengthen each one of us. Yes? Yes, Elijah. Oh, hold on 1 second. We're running the mic to you. I bet you Sophie has it.
You know, when speaking of the shield of faith, you know, like in the movie, you know, The Great Wall, you know, mm-hmm. when, I'm not sure if you saw it or not, when one of those creatures would get on the wall, you know, they wouldn't just all take it on separately. And one scene, they all collided together and had their shields ready and moved slowly towards it.
Yes, that is what God has designed us to be. But the enemy always wants to divide. That's his goal, rip you apart. So and the more he's trying to rip you apart, the more you come together in Jesus' name. Also, the helmet of what? That's right, because where does the enemy attack most? In your
mind.
That's right. So you take captive every thought. We wage war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We don't fight as the world fights, right? We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So make sure that helmet of salvation is secure. And then we have our offensive. Oh,
how about the shoes?
That's right. We have our shoes. Actually, I'm going to say that for last. We have the sword of the Spirit. What is that? That's our offensive weapon, isn't it? So when the enemy is attacking us, we combat it. Okay, we're thinking bad. We're thinking we're losers. We're thinking we can't do it. No, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. No, we combat him with the word whenever the enemy comes at us. Isn't that true? So we have to hide it in our hearts so we don't sin against him. Yes? Okay, I'll do that next week. Next week I'm going to hand out some Bibles and some free stuff that will help you to learn and grow. But we don't have time for that today. So I'm going to do it next week. And then finally, we've got something. And if you'll remember, our shoes are fitted with the
gospel.
Yes. Our shoes fitted with, and if you remember, they had nails. Now, this was a cheap knockoff, and they put the nails the wrong way. The nails would actually go down like cleats, so that you would be able to stand firm against the enemy when he comes. You could plant your feet in when he attacks. You can stand up. You could stand out and you can stand firm against the enemy. That nothing would move you. That even though you might waver, your feet would be planted in the gospel. And so what we're going to do, we do this usually once a year. We're going to give a gospel message. And I'm just going to tell you the story. I had a friend of mine who I talked to. He's not from this state right now, but I won't even say where because there's no point to that. Somebody else might know who it is. Anyway, what happened was he was in the hospital for a very long time, and he was telling me why he was in the hospital, but it wasn't making sense to me. And finally I said, man, what is going on? You've been in there for way too long. And so finally he confessed. He's like, I didn't want to tell you because I was afraid you'd be mad at me. And I said, what is it? He's like, I didn't tell anyone. I just tried to kill myself. And I said, well, first off, you're right. I am mad at you for doing that. That was selfish. That was wrong. But I said, the second thing is, I love you. You are precious to me. You're precious in the Lord's eyes. And sometimes the Christmas time and these holiday seasons can be super rejoicing and joyful, right? But then there are other times when, holy cow, it feels like an anvil's being dropped on your head. You know, like the Wile E. Coyote type of thing. You know, and we talked a little bit about heaven. And I think what we're going to do today, as we usually do this once a year, I show different videos over the years, decisions, value of a soul. And today I'm going to show you a video from Franklin Graham. That depicts two folks, and one was a firefighter, and how his life changed. You know, sometimes we think, oh, we're good, let's just continue on with life, eat, drink, and be merry, and then life can change in an instant. And another person we're going to look at is a young lady who had her father murdered. And we're going to take a look at these two individuals and their life and their story and their testimony. And so, George, I don't know if you can cue that one up and get that ready for us. But I just... you're good. Okay. Lisa, if you wouldn't mind hitting the lights in the back. And it's only about 20 minutes long, but I want us to listen to that. And Lord willing, we'll do Daniel next week.
Life hanging in the balance, we're willing to put our lives on the line so that other person may live.
My dad and I were actually really close. I was definitely a daddy's girl. I felt like we were always having these adventures out in the wild.
They say your life can be turned upside down in a blink of an eye. Life was awesome until something unexpected happened.
Sudden, out of absolutely nowhere, I just got this crazy feeling. I didn't know exactly what had happened, but I knew that it was my dad. And I just shook my head and I said, no, no.
An unexpected tragedy comes. A romance breaks up. A terrible injustice is done. And you feel so alienated and so lost. But you can start life all over again with a clean slate. Summer, and all of our grandchildren came home. No, it was one of the most wonderful, wildest times I ever saw.
I'd get tired. I'd say, oh, I've got to go back and study a few minutes. And I'd go back and lie down a few minutes and then come out for some more. But, you know, I love those children. It was great.
I've had this home for many years. And I've had a wonderful family that God has given me and my wife. And as I think back over the years, I'm in a state of thankfulness.
Now, God wants you to live. He wants you to live life to the fullest, and He has a plan for you that will prosper you and bless you. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and might have it to the fullness. He wants you to have life. He wants you to enjoy life, to give you the assurance that your sin is forgiven, that you're going to heaven when you die.
Facing death, things become a lot clearer. I was on top of the world. I had everything going for me. I had just been promoted to drive the hook and ladder truck. Felt like I was Superman. It was July 24th, 2007, a day that changed my life forever.
Units responding to the structure fire, report stable story commercial fire through the roof.
My job as a driver of the hook and ladder truck is to get on the roof and ventilate it. Open it up with a chainsaw so that the companies coming inside, the fire can actually make their way there without all the smoke and heat upon them. We arrived on scene. I put our aerial to the roof, got my chainsaw in hand. When I got on top of the roof, I saw fire out of the rear of the building come out of the skylight. And I stepped over a division wall. It was orange, fire all around me. I came to the realization that this was it. I was gonna die.
In life, there are things that you will never anticipate, things that completely ruin the plan that you have for your life, things that you never, ever imagine. My dad was a very big outdoorsman. We were always camping and fishing and hunting and you name it. If it's outside, we were always out doing it. When I was in college, I really didn't see my dad that often. So we decided to actually go down to Lake Powell. We just spent the entire week houseboating and water skiing and wakeboarding, and we just had such an amazing time. A week after that trip ended, out of absolutely nowhere, I just got this crazy feeling. Basically, I just wanted to go home, and I didn't know why. So we went. We get out of the car. It was my aunt. And just the look in her eyes, and it was just such a deep sorrow. And I just shook my head and I said, no, no, no. My dad had been murdered. You're just overcome with anger and sadness and grief to a degree that you never knew before. As people were coming down the line at the funeral, telling me all of these things that, you know, your dad is in a better place, I just couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe in heaven because it just seemed like such a fairy tale to me. It was something that you tell somebody to make them feel better.
Now, we want to soften the reality of death. We don't want to talk about it. Some of us don't want to think about it. So we have a lot of cosmetics and facelifts and the frantic search for the mythical fountain of youth that goes on. But I don't want to turn tonight to the psychologist or the sociologist or the medical students, but to the Bible. What does the Bible say about death? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Death ushers in so much uncertainty, and we ask ourselves, why? And I want to quote one passage from Amos, the fourth chapter, that says, prepare to meet thy God. And I want to ask you tonight, are you prepared to die?
My dad died, it really did change death in my eyes because people were telling me that he's in a better place, but I couldn't believe that. But I was really hoping to be able to see my dad again, to just have something, anything. I was just desperate for that. I desperately wanted my dad to come. I thought about the man who murdered my dad. I honestly hated him. And when I saw his picture in the newspaper with any of the newspaper coverage, I literally shuddered. He was kind of like the villain in my mind. He wasn't even really human. And I never thought that I'd be able to forgive him. It had been about 9 years since my dad's murder. And I think it all just kind of came to a head. And I kind of just fell apart. I became very depressed, and I fell into a pretty deep, dark hole. My greatest fear at that time was that there was going to be something wrong with me, and I would die, and I would leave my children. I had some family members come up to me and say, Lori, I think it's time to try some medication. And I remember just crying and saying, is it that obvious that I'm really not doing well?
Skin burning off, second layer, third layer, down to your tendons. I came to the realization that this was it, I was going to die, and all I could see was my life flash before my eyes, like a DVD on rewind. So as a young man in high school, I was exposed to drinking and partying. I took it to the next level. I was doing it quite often. And I went to college. It was all about getting girls. Me and all my buddies. Partying. I lived for myself. My indulgences. I would often wake up next to a woman that I hardly recognized or remember her name. My dad tried to talk to me a couple times about God. I'd just blow him off. Not for me, not now. Don't need it. I'm in control of my life.
The scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And if we're sinners, then we are doomed. By that I mean, Jesus used the word hell, and that's the future of all of us if we don't put our trust in Jesus Christ.
People do not want to be warned of judgment in hell.
with him. A lady said some time ago, I hate the very thought of hell. So do I. And I also hate the sin that sends them there. I hate war. I hate the fact that people are starving in the world. But my hating it does not change the facts. Is it right for me to warn you tonight what Jesus taught and what the Bible teaches from cover to cover? Well, suppose you were a drowning man and I have the gospel lifeboat. And I'm not going to let you drown if I can help it. Now, what is the nature of hell? Essentially and basically, it is separation from God. It's the banishment from the presence of all that is joyous and good and righteous and happy. Matthew 8:12, hell is called outer darkness. It's separation from God in darkness. You're not going to go down there and set up a nightclub. No. You'll go out into eternity thirsting for God, and you can never find him. You can never find the fulfillment that you missed in this life. What is your choice?
Well, people say, well, I don't really want a change in my life. Well, the scripture teaches without that change that God demands, we'll never get to heaven. Like, for me, I was a member of a church, but I hadn't really come to Christ. From the very beginning, I was reared in a Christian atmosphere. My father and mother both were Christians. By the time I was a teenager, there came an evangelist out of town, Mordecai Ham. I remember I got under such conviction, and one night they gave the invitation to receive Christ, and I reluctantly went. But I really meant business with the Lord. Just as I was, with all my sins, all my failures, and the Lord received me and changed me. It has transformed me till this day. I've never been the same. Jesus is the only way of life, eternal life, that he gives to every one of us that have put our faith in him.
I became very depressed, and I couldn't get myself out of it. I tried going to a therapist. I tried meditation. I tried doing yoga. I tried all sorts of different things, but nothing was working. My last resort was to call my girlfriend, Sarah, and I called her up and I said, Sarah, can you tell me a little bit about your church? And that next Sunday, I'm sitting there, and the pastor started preaching on exactly what I was dealing with in that moment. I started going to a woman's Bible study. I started pouring myself into it. I started reading scripture. And at one point, even though I still had some doubts, I was just like, what do I know to be true? Like, deep down in my heart. And it was truly that Jesus is the Son of God. I gave my life to Christ and I said, yes, I do believe that Jesus is who he says he is. God was showing me step by step by step who I am and who God is. I started to see my own depravity. I started to see the depths of the sin within myself. And that is why Jesus had to die, because ultimately sin is what separates us from God. And Jesus had to come so that we can be forgiven. I had tried to forgive the man who murdered my dad. And then one day I was reading about Jesus dying on the cross. He was asking for God to forgive the people who were in the process of murdering him. And I understood in that moment that true forgiveness can only be done through God. I mean, it was so hard and so difficult, but I was able to forgive. Jesus has gone to prepare a home for us forever. It has given me such peace. And the thought of heaven is just overpowering at times because it is a place where there will be no more fear, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death.
About heaven as a holy city, a perfect environment in which a perfect society dwells. Heaven will be a place in which its inhabitants will be free from the fears and insecurities that plague and haunt us in the present life. And the scripture says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away, and we enter a new world. I'm looking forward to that glorious day of going to heaven. Are you ready? The scripture says that God's desire is that all men should be saved. He wants it so much that he gave his son to die on the cross for you. Now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was a judgment. God judged Christ in your place. And Jesus, being who he was, had the capacity to endure hell for you. Did it for you because he loves you. Now God says you must repent of your sins and receive him into your heart. Repentance is changing your mind toward God and toward yourself, seeing yourself a sinner and seeing the holiness and the righteousness of God, looking at the cross of Christ and seeing that he died for you. And then the second thing you must do is to believe. That word believe means more than just believing with your mind. It means committing yourself, your total self to Christ as Savior and Lord. And then the third thing, you must be willing to follow him and serve him. Are you willing to do that? Are you ready? Yes, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice between some things that are wrong in your life, and you have to make a choice with Christ. Which will it be?
Everybody on duty that day expected a line of duty death. Thought of your own casket. It was real. Death was real. But here's a strange thing. There's something happened roughly 10 years earlier that connected that day and this day. It was a day back in 1995, and I was invited to a Bible study. There was a group of 8 to 10 of us, but at the end, the leader, he offered to those in the room listening to his voice if they wanted to receive Christ as their Savior. There was a still small voice that told me, "You need to do this." We all have a debt. The debt is sin. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it was that day, August 15th, 1995, is when I accepted the Lord into my heart as my Lord and Savior. And from that day forward, everything changed. In the middle of this raging inferno, I had peace. The peace that's rooted in my faith in Jesus Christ. And the scripture that is embedded in my heart is Romans 5:1. And said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And at this point, I had a conversation with God and said, "God, I'm ready to come home."
I
woke up 8 days later in the burn unit, unable to walk. Began my intensive recovery for over a year. It was tough, but I learned a lot. We all walk on a razor's edge, thin line between life and death. We're all gonna die one day. The question remains, are you ready for that day?
Found during the latter years of my life, when I've had sicknesses and been in the hospital and so forth, there's a peace that just resides there and stays there that I cannot explain. Everybody could have that same peace if they received Christ as their Savior. Forward to it with great anticipation because of what Jesus did on that cross. He died for us, but he was raised by God. And you'll notice that when the disciples went out after the cross and the resurrection, it says they went out preaching that Jesus was alive and that because he lives, we too are going to live someday in that same resurrection glory.
We all die. I'm not going to escape it. I don't want to escape it. I want to go. The vast majority of my life has already been lived. My record has already been made. I don't have very much longer. I know that.
Some of my closest friends and relatives, and especially my wife, already in heaven. And because of the hope we have in Jesus, we can all be in heaven someday forever. But first, there must be a decision here and now in this life.
Radical change must take place before you can get into heaven, before you can be accepted by God. You say, well, what do I have to do? You must repent of sin. You repent and you believe. Believe in Christ and you receive him in your heart and say, Lord Jesus, come in, and he'll come in. Have long, you'll be in eternity, and the decision you make tonight may decide where you'll be. Do you know Christ? Are you ready?
Today, I'm asking you to put your trust in Christ.
If you'd like to receive Christ, you can pray a prayer like this.
You can pray a prayer like this.
Dear Heavenly Father,
I know that I am a sinner,
and I ask for your forgiveness.
I believe Jesus died for my sins
and rose from the dead.
I turn from my sins.
I repent from my sins.
I invite you to come into my heart and life.
I want to trust and follow you
as my Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die.
Hi, I'm Franklin Graham, and I'm sitting by the gravesite of my mother, Ruth Bell Graham, here at the Billy Graham Library. My father is over 95, and even though my mother passed away a few years ago, he still misses her. He longs to be with her. He knows that my mother's not in this grave. She is alive, and she's in heaven.
Chris, if you wouldn't mind hitting that lights for a second. Thank you. You can pause it, George. You know what? That's just a clear presentation of the gospel message. Now, there are two things that I'd just like to share with you, if I may be so bold. If you can just give me just another minute or two. I want to do this. The Bible says something super. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who carry the good news. Now, there are some of you here right now that know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've given your heart over. You've given your life over. Be reminded, be stirred up with a heart of compassion and passion for others. And you know what? Deliver the gospel. He's given you those feet to be his hands and feet. He wants you to deliver it. Sometimes it's not easy to deliver the gospel. And you know what? Here's a little DVD. And if Chris, if you could just go around. And Elijah, if you can go around the other side, or maybe over there. And just go head backwards. I just want you to take a copy. Elijah, just start up at the front here and just go back. If anybody wants a copy, just grab it. It's an easy way to deliver the gospel, to put God's word, God's message of salvation in somebody's hands. And just take it. It's a free gift in Jesus' name. Give it away. Ask them to watch it. Maybe even watch it yourself if you haven't seen it. And then give it away and ask somebody what they think of it. You see, I'm so glad that you're here. And I, as a pastor, I want to be a loving pastor. I want to be a real pastor with you. I want to be a pastor that teaches the word and we want to be a church that loves others and that promotes the word and equips people. But what we have to offer you is Jesus. He is the only one who can save you. He is the only one that can assure you. He is the only one that can help you. So I don't want any of you to leave here without having an opportunity. If you didn't pray right there, I want you to make sure that your feet are fitted with the gospel of peace, that you have the gospel of Jesus Christ surely on your feet, that you can stand against whatever the enemy or this world has to throw at you, or even your own mind, right? Sometimes, isn't it true, we can be our own worst enemy? I'll just say it's true with me. You're a pastor. I know. That's why I know I need Jesus. Wow! I want to make sure your feet are fitted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says this in Psalm 27. It says, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they'll stumble and fall. And it says, though an army besiege me, and some of us here may be feeling during this time that an army is besieging you, you know. It says, but my heart will not fear, though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. And that confidence comes in the assurance of Jesus and his word. You will never find it apart from him. You won't find it in this church alone, or in any church, or in any denomination, or in me. You will find it in Jesus. You can be confident in him. He will never leave you. He will not let you down. And it's easy. The Bible, it goes on in Psalm 27, it says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And you know what? You can do that too, even now. You can bring that message to somebody and drop it off to them. But if that's not you, maybe you've just been like me. Maybe you grew up religious, right? I grew up in church. I wasn't saved for 30 years. I grew up in church and in religious schools, and I just had the head knowledge. I didn't give them my life. So make sure right now that your feet are fitted with the gospel of peace. And just say, Lord, I give you my life, Lord. I give you all my fears, Lord. I give you all my anxiety. I give you all my worries, Lord. I give you all my selfish ambition, Lord God. I'm just so thankful that you came, that you made a way for me, Lord, that you are the way, Lord, and the truth and the life, Lord. And I want to live that life. I want to have that belt of truth around me, and I want to walk with you with my feet firmly established in the gospel of peace, Lord. I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm in need of a Savior, Lord. I'm separated from you forever, apart from you, Jesus. Not only did you die for my sins, but you lived a life, a perfect life that I couldn't live. I receive your offer, Lord God, the blood that was shed for me, Lord, to forgive all my sins and the life that you lived, Lord God. Would you now live through me that I may live this life to glory and honor you, just like that song said as we worshiped in the beginning, Lord God, that all of our life would be about glorifying you. So come into my heart and life right now, God, and let me live for you all the days of my life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then help me to help others to come to know you in that way as well. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. God bless you, and have a great week. In the name of who? Jesus. Amen, guys. God bless you.